Hey, Boo Boo Bear, shut down the chainsaw guy. Man, we can't hear anything. That's better. Hello, everyone. This is Gary L. and Gigi's Boo on the Road Less Traveled on RealLibertyMedia.com. Here with all the fun people. Pre-show, we were talking about how it's hard to keep up. You know, we kind of get behind because Hal points out all the chainsaws keep dropping. And there was one, that chainsaw jumped right out there. Yeah, you know, he says people are just moving too fast for him anymore. I know the feeling exactly. Hey, Genius, you don't know anything about that, though, do you?
Well, yeah, everybody goes too fast. We just kind of slow moving, easy going. Although we're ready to take up arms, aren't we?
Yeah, drop the hat. Just drop the hat. We'll see what's happening.
Yeah,
I think I'm a little bit too hot. Let me pull that down some. Okay, there we are at RealLibertyMedia.com. The opening you heard is from Kevin McLeod and Compotech.com, The Sky of Our Ancestors. And there's the attribution that he requires. That's all he requires. If you want to go to his website and use his music, it's right there for you to use. Everything happening at RealLibertyMedia.com. It's all kinds of the Freedom Network and all kinds of web pages. And man, we've got a bunch of chatters over here. It's an IRC chat. Now, if you're not in here, I don't know why you're not in here, quite frankly. Because if you sneak in and listen, it's almost like you're a voyeur. You know, you're a peeping Tom or peeping Thomasina, depending on this, how you want to self-identify. But you can come on in the chat room and confess your sins to Grimnir, who is the chief cook and bottle washer of RealLibertyMedia.com. And if it weren't for him, none of this would be possible. Would it, GD's Boo? And we do have... We do have some folks sitting in here today. Of course, Grimner's here. Moose Girl, Kate, Asmo, Betsy, Bitcoin, Bob, Chalston, Lee, Chloe, Ivy Don, C, Java Doctor, JJ, Wanataco, Master Prowl, P. Bunyan, Rain, Rob Works, Trust No One, Beetle, Behind the Woodshed is here, Colfax, Dakota, Dima, Dorky Lynn, Flash, Frumpy, Gigi's Boo, she's in the chat room, Graham, Z, Kozu, Mbot, Poxified, Pawn Sauce, Sock Puppet, Slim Jim Plim, Teddy, and the Phantom. Now, you see, there are a lot of people in here, so you don't need to be a voyeur. You can just come on over to Real Liberty Media Chat, and if you can't figure it out, it's on the front page. It's on the home page. Just slide down the page and stick your little name in there. As I said in the Marines, your little nasty name. Put your little nasty name in there. And just come on in and say hello. Hello, everybody. So what have you been up to, Gigi's Boo?
Not much of anything. Just kind of sewing some, getting some things done around here, getting things squared away, keeping all our prepper stuff kind of rotated. We had so much cold weather here for about 10 days. I tell you, I thought I was in the northern tundra. It was so cold. It was so cold when Atticus would go out to raise his leg to pee. He'd lack, is it safe?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I forgot to bring down this just a quick little story. It's not amazing. Talking about cold weather. Oh, you think it's cold here? Why don't you check out Siberia, a little town in Siberia called Oymyakon, a village where the school kids are expected to attend class until the temperatures reach a minus 62 degrees Fahrenheit. It's considered the coldest permanently inhabited settlement in the world, but it got even worse. The temperature dropped to minus 80 degrees, and they closed the schools, believe it or not. And this is kind of a neat little article. There's a lot of pictures from there, and shows the, they say broken, but actually the thermometer is hit the bottom. It shows minus 70 as low as it goes, and it's hit the bottom. So there you are. Let's go ahead and throw this in the chat room for everybody to see. So you think it's cold where you are? Let's just go over to Siberia, and you can see what cold is all about. It's been actually a little bit warmer, hasn't it been, Gigi's?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. A little bit warmer. Don't let it fool you, though. Just February's still here. It's still coming.
And one of the prettiest snows that I think I ever remember seeing. I was a little bitty thing, and it snowed, and the peach trees, all the orchards were in bloom, and it snowed, and Mother took us up and let us see it, see the snow laying on the peach trees. I never have forgot that. It's always stayed in my mind.
Yeah. If I can remember, it's, I don't know, you know, when you're a little person, I guess not everything seems so much bigger than they do when you're grown up. But I can remember being a kiddo and running around in the fields and the snow and the snow drifts. And snow drifts would be so high, it would cover the tops of fence posts. And I can remember an occasion climbing over top of the fence on the snow drift and somehow tripping and falling head first and doing a dive right into the snow drift. And I was stuck. If it hadn't been for my buddy being with me, grabbing me by the feet and pulling me out, it could have been a different scenario. As odd as things can happen to you, I guess that's possibly one of them. So anyway, Gigi's Boo, I don't know. It's been a pretty quiet week. Nothing much going on except for that bizarre reflection that was picked up on the security system.
Oh, yeah. That was really, you know, and I did call and check, and they said there was no activity down here.
Yeah, it's really odd. Came up on one of the cameras, and those are some pretty good cameras, right, Gigi Smith?
They're top of the line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, at nighttime, they shift over to, I guess you'd say, multispectral. So it looks like daylight, just in black and white outside. So it does tend to kind of overemphasize, you know, regular visible light as one thing. It's pretty typical to night vision. But this was a bizarre reflection off the driver's side glass of the car. And I have the video, and I've studied the video trying to figure out what the source of the light was. Because you can see that, you know, normally cars driving up and down the road and reflect light in certain ways off the cars. But this was different. This is a light that just turned on. Boink! You know, it wasn't like it's something that gradually came. It just turned on.
No, it was there. I saw it there. I showed it to Gary. We watched it. I turned around to talk to Gary again. And when I looked back, I said, oh, yes. Gary, that thing's gone. Look. Then we got to running it back and playing the back feed or how it recorded. Even pulled it off, pulled it on one of the little flash drives so he could go frame by frame. And he thought maybe it could have been police car down on the next block, maybe. But we called and they said there was no activity on that date at that time. So I just saw it just like it dissipated like fog right off the car.
Mm-hmm.
We rolled it back. It was really a scary thing. I mean, I won't say scary, but it was one of those things where you're thinking, wow, gee, this is something, you know?
Yeah, it was different, and I'm still not convinced it can't be explained conventionally. But I'm presently at a loss to figure it out. I don't know. You know, the fact that I thought for a minute it might have been, you know, how the popo and ambulances have those lights that shine left and right. I thought for a minute it might have been one of those, but their report saying there was zero emergency activity during that time frame. So I don't know. It's still kind of a mystery. We'll have to continue to study that and see what comes out of it. Anyway, that's kind of the only weirdness of this week. Can you think of anything else?
No, not at all.
Kind of getting back more into the prepper thing. But it's also important as someone who's prepared to understand what's happening. And this is, we've kind of gotten so far down the road, I think, and Hal kind of pointed out in his show, 3 to 5, Behind the Woodshed, the chainsaws that he referred to and we referred to in the opening have been going full tilt for a very long time. And we've just kind of allowed ourselves to be rope-a-doped. And we've gotten in kind of to a situation that I don't know exactly what's going to come of this. But there are people out there who like to try to figure out what the, yes, some people refer to as the elite. And there's an organization called the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. And they're the ones pretty much in possession of, if you remember, the Paradise Papers and the Panama Papers. They're in possession of those things. They have a website, and it's kind of interesting to see that they talk in great detail about a lot of this, and no one else touches it. Of course, the mainstream media won't talk about this. Kind of like the closure of the government. Wow, how convenient when you have the report to the Senate Intelligence Committee that talks about all the crazy things that have gone on, apparently, with wiretapping and FISA orders and all this, and now suddenly we're going to close the government down. Well, when you talk about transparency, that's about as transparent as it gets when you're trying to avoid an issue or let it kind of slip into the memory hole, which there again, yes, we are guilty as charged when it comes to allowing the memory hole to rule us. So anyway, if you ever want to check a look at that website, a lot of interesting stuff there. And you can find out what the movers and the shakers are doing with their assets. And I'm not going to get off into this tangent of an absence of money. We only have a fake currency, and it was very skillfully designed to take your assets away from you and not cost anyone else anything. Wow, what a Ponzi scheme. Anyway, that's an interesting source for you guys to check out. What about some predictions for 2018 from the BBC, talking about how science and technology will affect us all? I'm kind of going to work toward a conclusion here, and it does relate to the preparedness thing. So this certainly predictions, as predictions go. Some are good, some are not. Some are better than others. These seem to be pretty interesting, though. They talk about driverless cars. I think we're already seeing that. Jesus, well, I saw one of the most amazing. It wasn't a driverless truck, but it had some high technology braking system on it. That, and I'm talking about an 18-wheeler. This was in Europe, and this 18-wheeler is balling the jack down this two-lane road, and a kid gets off of a bus, not a school bus, just a regular bus, and walks around in front of the truck as it's coming. So they walk around the back of the bus and jumps out. And this truck, the anti-collision system on the truck locked it down, locked down the anti-lock braking system, which it didn't jackknife anything, but it stopped just short of hitting the kid. It was amazing how quickly it stopped. So that was a driverless intervention. The system took over. It reacted faster than the driver could have ever reacted. So it's pretty interesting. But they're talking about the world's first driverless electric racing cars.
That's interesting.
Driverless NASCAR. Well, what's everybody going to do? I guarantee, you know, Danica Patrick can retire and have a driverless car. How about genetic engineering? Of course, they're talking about that still. And here's an article about how gene editing, how it works and what it does. And it talks about the PR side of it. It can alter how we treat illnesses and disease. But as a caveat, it does come with its own dangers. And I think we talked about that last week, about how the body, interestingly, will react to foreign elements being introduced into it. Imagine that. Then you have Open University, Interstellar Comets, and they talk about the end of Project Fear. I thought that was an interesting play on words, because I had to try to look up exactly what they were talking about with Project Fear. But what they're apparently referring to is this whole idea that the Earth is going to be hit by a comet or by an asteroid or something like that. But the play on words is interesting, because Project Fear also in Great Britain relates to the push against leaving the EU. So I thought that was kind of an interesting dual entendre kind of thing. And so it's an article that talks about those sorts of things. Epidemics and fighting antibiotic resistance. And we have an article about and some discussion about this whole concept of antibiotics a little bit later. They mention Wellcum, which I think is a pharmaceutical industry. Two L's, W-E-L-L-C-O-M-E. It's an article about epidemics and fighting antibiotic resistance. So without reading all that, we'll talk about the bottom line here. It says, resistance spreads. 2018 will be a critical year for continued global efforts to tackle another urgent global health problem. Superbugs. Now, here we go. Fear porn. So this is kind of an interesting cumulative view on what they believe 2018 is going to be like. But it does seem to include some of its fearful things, interestingly. Any comments on any of those, Gigi's Boo?
No, everybody's quiet in the peanut gallery.
Like, quiet in the peanut gallery, Atticus included?
Don't make a sound.
Why? What's he doing?
Because he'll cut up just as sure as we're sitting here.
He'll start dancing around. You know how he does. Okay, how about the connection between the planned elimination of the family and transhumanism. One of our favorite topics, the transhumanist agenda, which not too far behind the genetic engineering, is it? In fact, it's very similar. This is an article from G. Edward Griffin's website. Many of you know who he is. And has a video. And of course, they refer to the Illuminati and all that, which I'm a little bit about. Because I think that's kind of a dodge. Anyway, this YouTube talks about how motherhood has been demeaned in order to break the mother-child bond and eliminate the family in society. The purpose of this is to cause children to bond with the state instead. Children are encouraged to become addicted to technology as a necessary precondition for transhumanism, which is the blending of humans and machines. So this fellow, Paul Romano, talks a lot about that in this video. And feel free to listen to at your leisure. It'd be worth checking out. So as you can see already, we're kind of focusing on agents of change, of various types of agents of change, mostly technological, that are apparently, in my view, going to threaten the way we live our lives in the future. We, maybe not so much we, but those who come after us. And I think we already start to see some of the effects of that now with a lot of the way the young people are. What about that, Gigi's Boo? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Seeing a lot of it. I tell you what they would have done. They would have had a mama like mine. She wouldn't take the two Big Mac attacks from my mama. She'd straighten them up real quick.
Yep, I think you're right. But you see, you go to jail for that now, as we talked about.
As my mama said, bring your handcuffs on and bring a bus. Take all these children and take me to jail because I'll get three hots and a cot. But yeah. I'm going to make them mine. And yeah, they're going to do what I say.
Yeah, and as we talked about last week, you know, they're having to pass laws to allow for free-range kids. So you see how this, you know, earlier we commented that, you know, people just kind of got rope-a-doped, and all of a sudden, it's the exception for kids to run around and learn for themselves and be self-reliant, or learn how to be self-reliant through their own experiences. That's dangerous now. We can't do that. And along with that, we have the U.S. military agency investing $100 million in genetic extinction technologies. This comes from The Guardian. Of course, putting a good face on it, this technology could be used to wipe out malaria-carrying mosquitoes or other pests. But UN experts say fears over possible military uses and unintended consequences strengthen a case for ban. So, as you can hear in that lead line, this is a kind of a discussion about should this is something we should be playing around with. The UN Convention on Biological Diversity is debating whether to impose a moratorium on the gene research next year, and several southern countries fear a possible military application. Can't imagine that. And of course, guess who comes up? DARPA! DARPA comes up in this conversation. Very interesting, and if you don't think that's already going on and has been going on for a long time, then I got one of those dead gum bridges to sell you.
Of course.
Yeah. What about that? What was going on in Tuskegee back in the day? What happened there?
Oh, give them all that. Did their trials on them, infected them with syphilis and other things, and TB, you name it. They did it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that was. I'm sure there was some purported positive effect to be had from all that research, you know. But you see, we hear about these things how many years after the fact?
Many years. There, it's going on in prisons now.
Ah, yes. I'm glad you said that. You want to expand on that thought a little bit?
Well, I'm sure it's going on secretively. But I do know that if you have a prisoner in there with this number of years, every medical experiment that they participate in, or as we say, become the guinea pig for, they get so many months knocked off of their, months knocked off of their sentence. Now tell me why it's months instead of days.
Right.
You know why, don't you?
Go ahead. No, why?
They might be giving them a little free ticket out to live a little bit longer before they die.
Yeah, thanks for giving your life in the pursuit of science, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me anyway. Okay, all these things, they've been going on. I don't know why people don't get it. I don't understand why people don't get it. And one of the biggest controversies has to do with vaccines and the fact that so many people, we saw a recent report, and I think a lot of you have seen it, where 7 out of 8 elderly folks died from having received the flu and they were vaccinated.
Oh, God, Gary, it's care. Terrible. They had something. Wait a minute. I believe it was. Let me see if I can find it. Talk about it a minute.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting when you read the articles. It talks about, it simply states that 7 out of 8, which is about 80 some percent, by the way, of those elderly folks dying were inoculated against the flu. And of course.
All right, listen.
Go ahead.
Flu shot facts by Dr. Joseph Mercola, and the web address is www.mercola.com. If a person has 5 consecutive flu shots, their chance of contracting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher than the non-vaccinated person. By Dr. Hugh Fuddenberg, MD, PhD, author of over 80 research papers in medicine, biology, and immunology. Vaccine ingredients are thus thimerosal, thimerosal.
Yeah.
It's a mercury disinfectant preservative, aluminum, added to promote antibody response, formaldehyde, and they've got it listed as a disinfectant. Mm-hmm. Please God, it's embalming fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Ethyl glycol, that's antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
Phenol is a disinfectant and a dye. Benzethiamine chloride, I'll spell that for you. Benzethonium chloride. It's supposed to be an antiseptic. And then the methylparaben, methyl. PARABEN. It's antifungal and it's preservative. Mercury toxicity can result in brain injury and autoimmune injury. Aluminum is associated with Alzheimer's disease and seizures. Formaldehyde causes cancer and is considered hazardous waste that is no longer permitted as an ingredient in building insulation. never knew that it was used in building insulation. Knew it was used for embalming.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what it says. And they said people just so willingly are like sheep or cattle drawn to slaughter. They believe everything a doctor tells them. Think, people. Think for yourself.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's part of self-reliance, right?
That's right.
Becoming educated, at least being open to information that may be uncomfortable at first, but at least be open to the information. But the fact of the matter is, the 7 out of 8 who died from the flu shot, well, my question is, actually several questions, but my main question is, what are the mortality statistics for 65 and older who contracted the flu who did not have a flu shot? Okay, well, that's always been a kind of a open wound with the whole vaccine debate, is the absence of comparative data between those having been vaccinated and those who have not been. And it's kind of a longitudinal study. But guess what? That information does exist. And it exists due to the efforts of a Swiss homeopath. It's a website called vaccineinjury.info that's run by this Swiss doctor. And he has been collecting self-reporting surveys. Now, they have pluses and minuses, I realize that. But there are 16,493 participants thus far, and they have those who have been vaccinated and those who have not been vaccinated. And they answer the questions in the questionnaire, and it talks about things like comparing the results with the results on our survey on our German website, and it has a link for that. It talks about the ADHD, autism, migraines, concentration, sleep problems in unvaccinated children. It has percentages for that. Otitis media, sinusitis, herpes, warts, polyps, and fungal infections. And it does a comparison. And it comes out with some very, very interesting results. And we will say correlations. And we'll say conclusions. They're correlations. But when you get into the allergies, that's where it really starts to get interesting. The survey for unvaccinated children shows a 50% difference between children with allergies and children without. And then you get into asthma and bronchitis, chronic bronchitis, 2.32% of unvaccinated compared to 18% of vaccinated. So these charts and all this information is in this website, and it is an ongoing program. And has, you can click on the survey and send in your own survey. And so I highly recommend people who have an interest in this topic, take a look at this, because this is, let's find the chat room, there you are. This is the first that I've ever seen of a side-by-side comparison. What do you think about that, Gigi Boo?
Yeah.
Okay, and on that note, as we move forward with the vaccine initiative, because why is vaccine such a big deal? I mean, because people are being beaten up and arrested and kicked out of schools and fired from their jobs and all this kind of stuff because they won't take a shot. Go ahead.
I think it's left up to the families if they want their children to have the shot, and I don't think a company could fire you. I don't think they could.
Well, they apparently think they can. Hospitals and so forth believe they can. They believe they can fire the nurses for refusing to take flu shots.
Yeah, they tried that with me, too.
Mm-hmm. So at any rate, it is a significant issue, and becoming as educated as you can about it will give you, to use one of Hal's phrases, a word in your mouth when you refuse, if you choose to do so. If you choose to refuse, it'll give you a word, something you can say. And upcoming, many of you may already know this, but there is a free, I guess you'd say, it's a documentary, but it's a 7-episode series that's free. It's upcoming. It goes from the 25th to the 31st, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. and it's episode's been a documentary that's been produced by Ty Bollinger. And here's the link if you want to sign up for it. You have to sign up, and they send you the links. You can listen to it. And some people might just save it if you know how to do that. Moose Girl said something referring to something you said, Judith. And Grimner's put some stuff in there.
Yeah, I was going to Grimner's site. But yeah, it does happen, Moosey. They told me one time, they said, you'll do it or you won't have a job. And I said, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm ready for you. Go ahead.
And Moose Girl makes a very astute observation. The vaccine makers cannot be held liable. Well, how many trades or occupations that you know of are exempted from liability?
Hmm.
How many? I can't think of a whole lot. It's a pretty short list. But the vaccine makers are one of them. Now, that which begs the question, why, if everything they do is only detrimental a small percentage of the time, why would they feel the need to be exempted? That's a little bit like receiving immunity from prosecution in exchange for your testimony, because you won't get that unless you have something to say. I really don't see the difference. So, it's a long and involved thing that, as a prepared person, you may choose to march to the beat of a different drum, like providing your own natural antibiotic cures, or not, I don't like to use the word cure, but
treatments.
And there's one that we came across here that's pretty interesting, and we'll kind of discuss. I don't really think it's per se an antibiotic, but we'll talk more about that as we go along. That's from the nativestuff.us. Has a nice little recipe on how to make this concoction that works in assistance to treat infections and so forth. They call it a cleansing tonic. And I think they get a little, I think they tread on some thin ice here when they call it an antibiotic per se. But they say it destroys gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria. That's okay. I'm good with that. It has potent antiviral and antifungal properties. It boosts blood circulation and lymph flow in the entire body. And it's plant-based and offers multiple health benefits. And there's this recipe here. It tells you how to make it. It includes garlic and ginger and horseradish and apple cider vinegar, our favorite, turmeric powder, chopped onions, and hot peppers. Now, they use turmeric. I might opt to go with the straight curcumin, because actually in turmeric there's not a huge amount of curcumin, which is actually the active ingredient that you're looking for. So that's something to bear in mind. It tells you how to make it, how to store it, how to use it. Highly recommended. Any thoughts on that recipe, GD's Boo, or anything similar that you've seen?
No, huh?
So there again, going back to the thing about the chat room, if you're not in the chat room, you're not getting all this good stuff. Of course, later on it'll show up in the blogcaster, but who knows when that'll be. It might not be until tomorrow. So if you have a burning interest on maybe arguing against some of this, might be good to have the data in hand so you have something to argue against rather than just parroting what someone else says. Okay. What else is going on in the world that seems to be odd to us, and we've talked about it previously, is this whole concept of population. What's going on with the population? We've discussed this whole business about our belief that populations aren't going up. Populations are actually coming down. And that information is available out there if you want to look around in the various places that it's kind of sequestered. You don't hear about it on mainstream media, of course. You only hear about the soaring population and blah, blah, blah. When, in fact, we believe the truth is just the opposite. And one factor comes up in Breitbart, talks about soaring overdose deaths, cut U.S. life expectancy for the second year. Now, who just recently overdosed, Gigi's Boo? A couple of people did, didn't they?
Refresh my memory.
Yeah, the young lady from the Cranberries. She overdosed on fentanyl, apparently. And Tom Petty overdosed, apparently, on a whole cocktail of pharmaceutical drugs, to include fentanyl. So, the third leading cause of death is medicine, by the way, for those who didn't know that. And this is an article from Breitbart that U.S. deaths from drug overdoses skyrocketed 21% last year, and for the second straight year, dragged down how long Americans are expected to live. And it goes on to talk about how terrible this is. Talks about heroin being tied to 15,500 deaths, prescription painkillers to 14,500. So almost as many people died from pharmaceuticals as they did from heroin. How neat. The highest drug death rates were in the ages 25 to 54, and that's kind of a wide swath of people there, isn't it, Jesus?
Oh, yes.
A baby born last year in the United States is expected to live about 78 years and 7 months, on average, according to the CDC. An American born in 2015 was expected to live about a month longer, and one born in 2014 about 2 months longer. So here's, people talk about a trickle of information. Well, here's a little trickle of information. Of course, they blame the dip on drug deaths and an unusual upturn in the death rate for the nation's leading killer, heart disease. Whoa! Now, suddenly, heart disease has become a major issue. Why might that be, Gigi?
Well, people are, the heart disease thing is, you got so many people who are doing the artificial sweeteners, and they're so worried about being fat, they go on these real strict diets, and the heart's nothing but a muscle. You have to feed the muscle. That's just my opinion. I don't know. You give me yours.
Well, I think you're right on target there. A high carbohydrate diet is going to damage your heart muscle, isn't it?
Sure is.
Because you're low in potassium, you're low in vitamin D, and one of the recent things I read talks about the fact that in America, Americans are vitamin D deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tie that to a lot of things, but sitting inside on a computer or on the cell phone or watching TV 24/7, you're not in the sunlight at all. That could have a little bit to do with that, and it goes, there we go back to our technological interface yet again. So it's kind of an interesting little thing. And CDC reports and talks about the different states. It says West Virginia is the state with the highest drug overdose death rate. Ohio and New Hampshire are next. Life expectancy for men...
I would have thought Kentucky would have been up there, too.
Mm-hmm. Life expectancy for men decreased, but it held steady for women. That increased the gender gap to 5 years, 76 years for men, 81 for women. U.S. death rates decreased for 7 of the 10 leading causes of death, but rose for suicide, Alzheimer's disease, hello, Gigi's Boo, and for a category called unintentional injuries, which includes drug overdoses. You were just talking about Alzheimer's disease and aluminum, weren't you, Gigi's Boo? Accidental injuries displaced chronic lower respiratory diseases to become the nation's third leading cause of death, which is a lie because we already know that medicine is the third leading cause of death. So, you know, here we go. And they talk about increased deaths from car crashes and people falling down. And they say gun deaths rose for a second year. The United States ranks below dozens of other high-income countries in life expectancy, according to the World Bank. The highest is Japan, at nearly 84 years, and if you remember that data that we pulled up for you, it's a little more provocative. So anyway, how interesting all this is, as we see this whole business collapsing around us, and people still oblivious. Many people are just oblivious to what's coming, what's already here. In an interesting website called N-I-U-S-S-P, which is, let me see if I can get you the breakdown on exactly what that is. It's a new IUSSP news magazine now. I'm not sure what IUSSP is. It's international something, which will disseminate scientific findings from demographic research carried out all over the world. The practical implications of current trends, the risks and potentialities of emerging situations, the pros and cons of specific laws are discussed in rigorous but plain language. Okay, and it's an international head. It's got offices in Germany and Holland and Russia and Italy and English and French and all kinds of different things. So it is a worldwide effort. But in this December 4th, 2017 article, it says, half the world's population is reaching below replacement fertility. What does that mean exactly? Well, according to the most recent UN estimates, almost one half of the world's population lives in countries with below replacement fertility, with a total fertility rate below 2.1 births per woman. Of these, one quarter have total fertility rates close to the replacement level, between 1.8 and 2.1. The other three quarters have really low fertility, below 1.8 births per woman. Low fertility countries are generally grouped into clusters. The main clusters are in East Asia, Southern Europe, the German-speaking countries of Western Europe, and all the former socialist countries of Central and Eastern Europe. What that basically means is that there aren't enough people being born to replace people who are dying. In other words, you have a negative growth rate, population growth rate. And it goes on to talk about why they believe this is the case. And I'm sure they don't talk about some of the things that we suspect are probably the case, along with the things that they mention. So it's something to consider because, you know, as we've talked about, you're looking at reaching a tipping point when you have a collapse. And a collapse doesn't necessarily have to just be one thing. It doesn't necessarily just have to be an economic collapse. It could be what happens. Let's pose this question. What might be one of the hidden reasons, undisclosed or not discussed reasons, why driverless vehicles and robotics and all these sorts of things, these robots to take your order at McDonald's, why might be one of those reasons that aren't talked much about? Is it possibly because there are those who know, who are fully aware that the population density is going to go way down real fast? Something to bear in mind as you go through all this. And as Tyler Durden talks about over on Zero Hedge, Americans are ditching these five states in record numbers. Now, this is his interpretation of the data. There could be other interpretations related to what we've just discussed. But it seems that Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, California, and Michigan are the top outbound states. People leaving, or they're not there today and when they were there yesterday. Let's be very generic about that. And it's got the percentages of all that. It seems that you have the top inbound states, Arizona, Idaho, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee. Now, with the exception of Idaho, I could guess that some of that migration is weather-related because you have an aging population. And, you know, we old folks like to stay warm. We get tired of shoveling snow in Connecticut and New Jersey and Michigan. California is a whole nother item. I'm sure anybody who follows their politics will probably understand what's going on in California. But anyway, it's an interesting, has some interesting population changes listed in graph form and rankings and so forth. Now, are there people disappearing from the population? Are those numbers contributing to this? Is it some of that? There are perhaps other ways of interpreting the data that is not as straightforward as what's being written in here. Okay, well, what are some of the ways? We talked about Tuskegee, right? Gigi's Boo. And you mentioned artificial sweeteners. And I think you were referring to something, things like aspartame and all that good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were told that sugar, by and large, is kind of a crapshoot. It might not be good to eat too much sugar. Now, some of the cane sugar, organic cane sugar, people say, okay, that's pretty good, but sugar still's a problem, yada, yada, yada. It's just been going on for a while. Is it possible that could have been a misdirection? And here's the reason I ask the question, because it turns out that stevia, which is a natural sweetener that a lot of people have been recommended, you know, has been recommended to a lot of people to try and to go to, and it's pretty good stuff. I've used it. Is it possible that stevia may be affecting your fertility? And this is an article from 2015. Stevia is used as a no-calorie sweetener that supposedly doesn't have any negative impact on blood glucose levels. However, stevia shows to be detrimental on reproduction functions and is used in South America as birth control. Other areas of the world use stevia medicinally for people who currently suffer from health issues indicative of microbiome issues. The use of stevia is potentially harmful, but I'm not going to go into all that. I cite information from PubMed and Science Magazine and so forth. And of course, stevia.com has its own spin on it. But is it possible that someone down the line knew that stevia would affect fertility? Well, guess what? In 1968, Science Magazine published an abstract entitled Contraceptive Properties of Stevia Rebodiana, which I guess is the full scientific name. And the abstract paragraph simply says a water decoction of the plant Stevia Rebodiana Bertoni reduces fertility in adult female rats of proven fertility. The decoction continues to decrease fertility for at least 50 to 60 days after intake is stopped. The decoction did not affect appetite and apparently did not affect the health of adult rats. And so along with that, it's Native Americans in South and Central America have used the stevia plant as a contraceptive. It's in their oral history. It goes back that far. So to answer the question, did somebody know? I think they did. Now, Gigi's Boo, let me ask you this. Do you think that anybody would use that information to create a program where we told everyone that sugar was so bad and you need to use stevia, but the whole thing was a way to help decrease population? Do you think that's possible?
Sure. They don't lie to us all the way around.
So, you know, you talk about that evil genius. It's so elegant, if that's the case. And I know this is kind of conspiratorial, tinfoil hat wearing, but what happened to Tuskegee Gigi's Boo?
Well, they got busted years later, and they did have to give some money to the survivors if they could even remember. And if they had family, they had to pay them to.
The principles behind the whole thing, they just kind of walked away and disappeared, and no one was the wiser.
That's right.
So all these things, it's really, look at the world around you for what it really is, and the history of it, Operation Northwoods. Who would have believed that the government would have designed programs to intentionally misinform, disinform, and frame, create a false flag to make Fidel Castro look like he had attacked American citizens.
Oh, good Lord, I got one better than that.
Go ahead.
They say that Jimmy Carter, when he was in office, and from, you know, he was from the South, he came down here and turned germs loose, you know, sprayed the South, and there was a sickness. My mother remembers it. It was going on about that time, and they later told that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
He told them to go ahead. He gave them the okay. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it all the time, and people don't want to believe about the chemtrails. They're crazy.
Right. Yeah, as much as you're conditioned to think that people who talk about these sorts of things are kooky, maybe you ought to consider how much effort is put into making people look kooky who talk about this stuff. And maybe you ought to set that aside just for a moment and use your own discernment and do your own reading and see what kind of conclusions that you might come to. Your mileage may vary, but there are many cases of smallpox blankets still being handed out. Don't you think, Gigi Boo, figuratively speaking?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think just the fact that the sheer numbers will show you that they have been lying to you about this so-called overpopulation, just like the Michael Mann hockey stick. It's just so many lies. I mean, it's a target-rich environment. And the chainsaws that we had opened up the show, they're there to help keep you away from the truth, whatever that is. Well, it's 8 o'clock, Gigi's Boo, and we do have a couple of other things. I guess we'll just save them till next time. But I have recipes on how to make your own gunpowder and also how to make your own gun solvent. So a couple of useful recipes for you guys who like to do your own thing. And it's highly recommended that you do your own thing as best you can. As best you can, Gigi's Boo. So anyway, that's about it for us tonight. What else you got?
Nothing but just remember to take the road less traveled. I love you big to my heart.
Yeah, and we appreciate you listening to us go on and on. It was a little bit windy tonight, maybe a little wordy, a little overdone. But there's so much information that's really important to get, at least have access to. You know, you have these miracles of information surrounding you, so use them. Anyway, we'll see you next week on The Road Less Traveled. Take care. Bye-bye.